Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we begin our career article. It is January 17th, and we are glad that you are tuning in and listening to the program. And I have two wonderful panelists here to help me with this discussion. First, welcome, Linda.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here. And this is a very interesting article about careers as well.
All right. You're hearing from Linda Ludwig, the managing editor for Studio Classroom, and we have Josh here with us. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you, Brandon. I'm very glad to be here, and I think it's fascinating, the topic that we'll be talking about today, so I'm very, very glad that I have a chance to share that with all of you.
All right. Well, thank you, Josh, for joining us today, and this is a topic that a lot of us can relate to at different parts of our lives. Maybe some of you right now are thinking, yeah, that's me. I feel stuck in my career. And sometimes we feel stuck, but we just need to change the way we think. And other times we may actually need to change our jobs, right, Linda?
Right. And or we might need to look at how we're doing things and why we're doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has a lot of impact on our careers as well.
Well, what you just said is really important, why we do what we do. What's the purpose? And we need to ask that question a lot. For various reasons, different things going on in our lives. Why are we doing this? And if we don't know the purpose, we may need to reconsider doing that or why we're doing that and do something different.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when we struggle in our day-to-day lives, especially with something that's so important like a career, I think a tendency is to maybe look outside and to blame other things or other people with our own problems, but sometimes we also have to look on the inside, which can be a little bit challenging.
That can be challenging, but it's good to assess these things, ask other people. You know, it's good to broaden our horizons, right? We need to think bigger sometimes. Sometimes we're so focused on one little thing, but there's a whole world out there. And, you know, I believe we talked about this before. Maybe you feel stuck in your career, but there's nothing you can do about it. But there's time outside of work. You can take on a new hobby, you know, learn how to play an instrument, do something to enrich your life. That's another way to think about it. Well, we are on page 28, and the title is really a question. Career stuck in neutral. Now, what do we mean by the phrase stuck in neutral, Linda?
It means you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, if you're in a car, right?
Right, it's really referring to a car.
Right.
So if your car is in neutral, you can't reverse and you can't go forward. So how about in your career? Are you right there? You're not you don't feel like you're going anywhere.
Well, hopefully you're not going backwards.
Yeah, one would hope not.
And I really like this image of your car being stuck or you being stuck in neutral because your engine or your motor is still on. It's still running. It just you can't get it in gear in order to go anywhere with it.
Right.
And we see this guy there at the top of page 28, right by the title. He's inside this jar, and he, of course, he looks like he can't get out. He can't escape. He's stuck. And that is a good illustration of what's going on here. And our deck, what does it say, Linda?
It says, discover the bad habits that could be sabotaging your career. So actually, this is referring back to us. Mm-hmm. You know, what are we doing that is like preventing us from being successful? What are we doing to kill our career, so to speak?
Right.
That's what sabotage means.
That's right. That's a good word to know. If you something is sabotaged, or here you're sabotaging your own career, you're preventing success.
Right. We often hear this in war. Mm-hmm. You know, people sabotage. We sabotage the enemy's plans.
Right.
So we send in spies to do that.
It's often used with the word plan. You're sabotaging a plan.
Yeah, and a lot of times when you sabotage something, you're interfering with somebody else's plans, right? Or you're interfering with the enemy's objectives. But here we're talking about how can you be sabotaging yourself, which is a very interesting question.
And we're talking about this in careers specifically today, but, you know, we also need to think about, are we doing this to sabotage relationships or, you know, our social circles or just outside of careers, too? What are you doing? Are you sabotaging your life?
Mm-hmm. And it's all revolving around bad habits. And it is a new year. We often talk about bad habits in January and trying to, you know, create new habits that are good and goals and so forth. Well, maybe you need some new goals in your career, or you maybe need some new goals in life, which could also obviously involve your career. Well, we have much more to discuss, but we're going to look at our first reading. So if you have your magazine, open it up to page 28, or you can also follow along on your digital device. We'll have our first reading for today.
Career stuck in neutral? Discover the bad habits that could be sabotaging your career. Everyone has an Achilles heel, a weakness that can lead to the downfall of even the most powerful warrior. Have you identified yours? If not, you may face a career stall or even derailment. The way people fail in their careers is very generic and transfers across industries, says James Waldrop, a business psychologist and creator of Career Leader, an internet career assessment program. Identify the behaviors that hold you back, and it's possible to address them, he says. Waldrop and Harvard University business professor Timothy Butler have studied bad habits that paralyze employees for almost two decades. Bad habits include never feeling good enough, doing too much, avoiding conflict, lacking a sense of boundaries, letting fear drive you, functioning as emotionally tone-deaf, and lacking a sense of direction and purpose. These behaviors arise from an individual's genes and from environmental influences, such as family, friends, and colleagues.
All right, well, we start off talking about an Achilles heel, and what is that, Linda?
Well, it's a very common phrase we use in English, actually. At the back of your foot, at the back of your ankle, we have what's called your Achilles tendon, which, you know, runs down your leg. And an Achilles heel is a small fault or weakness in somebody or maybe in a system that can result in a downfall. So that tendon in your connects your foot to the rest of your leg, basically. So that is a very important part of your body, but it's also a weak point.
Yeah. So this kind of used as an idiom here. I mean, of course, it's listed here as a noun, but the way they're using it is more like an idiom.
Yeah, Achilles was a famous character in a huge Greek story. And he was protected magically in all places of his body, except for where a leaf had covered up his heel and wasn't able to be protected by this magic. So it was like the one weak spot on his body where he could be injured.
Right.
And so that was a famous story that comes from a myth from a long, long time ago, and it's just remained part of the English language.
So maybe that's why it's listed as a noun, because that's a more literal interpretation versus how Linda was talking about it. If it was just that definition, it would be more of an idiomatic usage.
But that is how we use it. I mean, it's kind of as an idiom. And actually, in the story, his downfall was because of his Achilles heel.
Exactly.
Okay, so everyone has these problems. Everyone has issues. And it says here a weakness that can lead to the downfall of even the most powerful warrior, because you have this Achilles heel. And whatever your weaknesses are, they can, you know, cause problems in your career and in your life. Well, do you know what your weaknesses are? Have you identified them? It's important to do so, isn't it, Linda?
Yes, and especially if you want to do something about it. I've heard people say, well, I just am the way that I am. But that doesn't mean that if something is wrong in your life and you know it, that you can't do something about it.
Or we can just attribute it to our personalities,
right? I've
heard
a lot of
people personality.
Do that. Yeah.
And some things could be, but a lot of that's not, and we can change, right?
Sure.
Okay, so we need to first identify what our weaknesses are. And then it goes on, it says, if you haven't done this, you may face a career stall or even derailment. And so if something stalls, it stops. And so we're talking about being stuck in your career, so you're not going anywhere. And then we have the term derailment, Josh.
So this is a couple of terms that sort of relate to transportation. So if a train goes off its tracks or off its rail, it's derailed, which means that it's it prevents it from moving forward or from succeeding.
Okay, and then we meet James Waldrop, and he is a business psychologist, and he also works for Career Leader, which is an internet career assessment program. And what does he say, Linda?
He says that the way people fail in their careers is very generic and transfers across industries. Now, it's kind of interesting. This word generic just means it relates to many groups. It's very nonspecific. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's not specific to a certain industry, and it's part of you that can go across into any field of work.
So a lot of people have the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and which is kind of encouraging. Sometimes we think it's just me. I'm the only one with this problem. And that can be in many areas of life. We think I'm the only one dealing with this, but in fact, maybe many other people are dealing with this same exact thing. That's why it's good to discuss these issues.
Definitely. So that's what we want to do here. And he actually created Career Leader. As you said, Brandon, it's an internet career assessment program. So it looks at one's interests, motivators, skills that will drive future career choice and satisfaction. Mm-hmm. So they look at people. You can go. Actually, I took a look at the website, and it's quite interesting. There are a lot of little modules to it, but you can go in and see, what you're doing, and it'll help you, as it says here, identify behaviors that maybe hold you back.
And it's important to identify these behaviors in order to address them. Mm-hmm. You have to know the problem before you can address the problem.
Yeah, we have a saying in English that knowing the problem is you've answered 50% of it.
It's half the battle, right?
Yeah, it's half the battle, because a lot of times we don't know what's wrong.
That's right. And sometimes, Josh, we don't really want to focus in on that. We don't want to think about what's wrong in our lives. We want to ignore those things often, don't we?
Yeah, I think it's a particularly normal feeling for most people to consider that the problem is really external instead of internal.
Someone else.
Is someone else or
that,
something right? else, right? Although, really, the only thing that we can have any hope of controlling is what's on the inside and not so much on what's on the outside. So it's a little bit ironic that the things that we tend to have the most control over are the things that we tend to look at last.
That's right.
That is really true,
Well said.
The only person you can change is yourself.
Yeah. And often we think, well, if this was just different, if someone else would, do this or that, or it's because of this person or whatever. And in fact, we just need to change the way we think about it and work on what we can control.
Right.
And we want to control everything often.
Definitely.
Right? we can't. So we need to just, face the facts, right, and do what we can. Well, Waldrop and Harvard University business professor Timothy Butler, they have studied bad habits. And they're talking about this, these bad habits, and they're talking about paralyzing employees. What are they really saying here, Linda?
Okay, if you're paralyzed, it means you cannot move. Mm-hmm. So there are bad habits that some employees have that makes them, like they can't move forward. They can't go in any direction at all, and they can't do anything about it. I do want to point out something about this sentence. The end of the sentence that you were reading, Brandon says, and Timothy Butler have studied bad habits that paralyze employees for almost 2 decades. This sentence is a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
This for almost 2 decades probably would be better placed at the beginning of the sentence because it looks like Waldrop and Harvard University business professor Timothy Butler have done this for almost 2 decades. But the way where the placement of this phrase looks like, well, when I first read it, I was like, they've only paralyzed employees for 2 decades? Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, you need to move that to the beginning of the sentence in your mind.
Mm-hmm. They've been studying this for 2 decades. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can be a little confusing. But the point is these bad habits are paralyzing employees, and we can all relate to that. Bad habits tend to paralyze us. And so we're going to discuss that and identify some of those bad habits.
I think that one of the reasons is because we're blind.
Yeah,
we're blind to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to blame somebody else. It's never easy to recognize that maybe we're the problem or maybe we have a bad habit that is affecting other people in in an adverse way.
Or we sort of know it, but we don't know how to deal with it, so we choose to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And but we only sort of.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So bad habits include never feeling good enough, doing too much, avoiding conflict, lacking a sense of boundaries, lots of things. There's a list here. And, you know, you can look through this list, listeners, and choose the ones maybe that you know, relate to you. This first one, you never feel good enough. I think that's a common one. People feel that they don't measure up, right? They are inadequate. And oftentimes you're asked to do something in your job and you feel, oh, I don't think I can really handle that, right?
Well, I think, you know, you need to approach a job with a sense of adventure because I don't think any employer really expects you to know everything, every aspect of the job. So if you look upon it as, oh, okay, I'm going to learn how to do this. So, you know, we need some challenges in our life in order to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It is true when you work with people that are super capable. I feel this way around people that are really good at technology.
Yeah.
I definitely never feel good enough here. But, you know, most people are willing to help you in to come help you develop or at least give you some knowledge or some way to go.
Right. Well, what I would say here is we all have strengths and been gifted in different ways. We don't all have to be good at everything. And so maybe someone like Josh is good with technology.
I always go to him.
And he can offer that, you know, help to people. And maybe someone else is good in a different area and we help each other, right? And hopefully that sort of balances everything out. We don't have to feel this pressure to be good at everything.
If you work in a super competitive office, you might not feel like what we're saying is valid in your situation, but you always have Google.
But this is why they say that teams are stronger than individuals, right? Because you will find in any group of people, certain people will have their strengths, other people will have different strengths, and they will complement each other and allows you to do better work together as a team.
You know, I just have to say this is also very valid in the classroom. I always tell this to teachers that when you make groups and you're going to do a project, don't let your students pick your groups, pick their groups. But, you know, try to put people together and have each person, you know, the weaker students with stronger students and middle students, because everybody has something to contribute.
Yes.
And they can work together and look out for each other.
That's right. Okay. And the next one is also an interesting point, doing too much. You know, we have to know when to say no. Sometimes we can take on too much at work.
Yes. I would say also that this one might be a little bit confusing for a lot of people, and part of it is because you have to know energy is a resource. You have to know how much energy to put into something, and if you're putting more energy into something than is absolutely necessary, it means you're taking away from putting energy into other things.
That's an excellent point, knowing how to conserve energy and how much time to spend on one project over another.
I also think this is closely related to not the next one, but the following, lacking a sense of boundaries. Because if you don't know, you know, if you don't have any sense of boundaries, that's often when you end up just doing everything.
Sure.
Yeah. And the one in between there, avoiding conflict. We often want to avoid conflict. But that can be a bad thing, right? We're talking about bad habits, so it can be a bad habit to avoid conflict because you're not dealing with the issue.
That's right. So unresolved conflict that goes on for an extended period of time can create its own problems that will last for even years afterwards.
All right. And then letting fear drive you. This is a huge one in life in general. You know, we neglect doing things because we are afraid. We don't want to try something new because we're afraid of failure. And so we need to take risks at certain times. You can assess the risk and see, should I do this? But we shouldn't just always, you know, do the same thing because we're afraid of failure. We need to try new things. And then we talk about functioning as emotionally tone deaf. Linda, help us with that one.
Well, to me, if you function as emotionally tone deaf, you know, we're talking about people here, and people have issues or problems that are not necessarily related to work, or maybe there's something going on that's keeping somebody from doing their best at work. And if you just, you know, lay down, you know, I need this today, I need that tomorrow, without really knowing your employee, that to me is emotionally tone deaf. You don't really know what's going on around you.
That's right. But normally we use this with music, right? You can't mm-hmm. pick out, you know, if you are singing or something, you don't hit the notes because you can't get everything right. You know, you're not really musically inclined. But here, you're not paying attention to the concerns of others, right? Okay, and you also, they go on here at the end talking about lacking a sense of direction and purpose. This one is huge. If you don't know where you're going, you might go around in circles. You have no purpose. You have no direction. And I think this affects your daily mood or just what you do every day, right? If you don't have a purpose, then it's hard to really put your all into something. So that's really, really important to think about within your career and within life in general. Okay, so these behaviors arise from an individual's genes and from environmental influences, such as family, friends, and colleagues. Now, they state this as just a fact. I wonder, you know, when you think about these behaviors arising from an individual's genes, I guess they've done some studies on this, but I would assume that there could be some debate about this.
I think it means personality.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So there is sort of an ongoing debate as to, like, individual character traits, if it's something that you inherit, do you have no choice about, or if it's really a product of your environment and how you were raised. They're kind of covering the bases a little bit here by saying it's maybe a little bit of both. But you're right. It is an ongoing discussion that I don't think people have really answered.
Because if you put it all on the fact that it's, you know, genetic, then you feel like, well, this is the way I am. Mm-hmm. I can't change it, which is very, very dangerous. And so I would say, you know, don't take, you know, take that with a grain of salt,
sure.
You know, because we can change. Okay, so we've talked a lot about the bad habits, and we're going to talk more. We're going to hear about a three-part plan in our last reading for today.
To recover from bad habits calls for a three-part plan, says Butler. You must admit it's a bad habit. Plan to advance differently and learn new patterns of behavior. Walk your talk, he says. Rewire your brain. A tight labor market makes it even more important for individuals to assess their shortcomings and examine their major behavioral patterns. The diagnosis is easy. The hard part is really working on eliminating those bad habits, he says. In extreme cases, one might consider seeking psychological help. In others, coaching or consulting with career professionals or a supervisor may be enough. To facilitate assessment, they have assembled the habits into 6 difficult personality types, some of which could have multiple bad habits.
All right, so now we are talking about a three-part plan, and this is from Mr. Butler. And what does that entail, Josh?
Well, the first part of his three-part plan entails usually what people say you have to start with, which is to admit that there is a problem or admit that you have a bad habit.
Okay, and then it talks about a plan. You need a plan to advance differently. And then the last one is about what?
Rewiring your brain.
Okay.
So, but I think that to plan differently, to advance differently and learn new patterns of behavior, so then they say walk your talk and rewire your brain. So I think that comes back to, you know, learning the new patterns of behavior.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, this phrase, walk your talk, what is that?
Well, it's a phrase so that's connected to people like to say things mm-hmm. all the time, but then they don't necessarily do the things that they say. So here it's a phrase we use to say that people really need to actually follow through and do the things that they're talking about.
So the first part is you just need to admit it. Okay, yes, I have this bad habit. And then make a plan. Be intentional about it. You know, what changes can I make? What new patterns do I need to implement into my life, into my career? And I like that phrase, Linda, that you were talking about, rewiring your brain. Don't you feel sometimes that you need to just rewire your brain? You need to change the way you think, right?
Right. You know, I don't think we realize this, but we are what we think.
Mm.
So if we look at a situation where we always are very pessimistic about it or look at things in a very pessimistic way, which means the bad side or kind of the downer side of it, then everything will look that way to us. So, I've known this for myself in the past, that I've had to, you know, when I'm in a situation and I think, oh, this is terrible and blah, 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 and then I think, I really shouldn't be thinking that way, and I've changed the way I've thought, things change.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the way we're thinking, we're so off base.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally incorrect, or there's a shred of truth, but we just make a big deal out of it, and then we realize later, you know, that was really dumb, right?
Sure.
Waste time on that.
Yeah.
So we really need to be careful how we think, and Linda was talking about that's, you know, really what matters. We are what we think. Well, next, it talks about a tight labor market, and that makes it difficult, or makes it more important for individuals to assess their shortcomings and examine their major behavioral patterns. Because, you know, if you're looking for a job and, you know, it's hard to get a job, it's important to know where your shortcomings are, you know, and your faults. So you kind of, you know, you can admit that and work on it to improve, right? So hopefully you can get that job.
Right. When we talk about a tight labor market, we just means that there aren't a lot of positions and jobs available. So sometimes if you feel like you're not doing well in your own job, you might be able to pick up another position in another company that would also give you some advancement. But if it's a tight labor market, it's going to be more difficult because there just aren't those jobs available.
Well, Butler says it's easy to diagnose the problem. The hard part is working on getting rid of those habits. And, you know, they've created this personality profile, these different personality types that we're going to talk about tomorrow. There are actually six difficult personality types, and some of which could have multiple bad habits. And so we're going to break it down for you tomorrow. You can go ahead and read ahead to get an idea of what's going on and come back tomorrow and join us for day two of our career article, Career Stuck in Neutral. Until then, this is Brandon.
And Linda.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.